So in a moment, we're going to just look at some personal experiences of mudita and its enemies, for that matter. Dhyamala and I are going to give you some personal thoughts. But before that, just wanted to sort of expand out the idea of mudita a little bit, actually. I've been reading some papers that Ratnaguna had recommended by... It's really a sort of a compilation of short papers on the theme of sympathetic joy. And there's a fair bit of it, but there were some things that just sort of stuck out for me that I'd like to share, just very briefly. And one of those things was, so we conventionally talk about sympathetic joy. That's the normal translation of mudita. But a couple of these authors had quite deliberately use the alternative term unselfish joy. And I think that's quite helpful, actually, because using unselfish seems to highlight the difference between, between that and the near enemy, which we've said is, you know, misappropriating somebody else's glory, if you like. So unselfish joy could be an alternative translation. And also what I found helpful was the argument that maybe mudita becomes more accessible if we apply the term appreciation to it. So one of these authors said, well, it can feel a little bit forced to just be homing in on those occasional instances when another person we're aware of is... what is celebrating, if you like, has something particularly positive going on and we can join in the celebration. But something that's got a lot more sort of life in it, is a lot more present more of the time, is appreciation. So her suggestion, this author's suggestion was, well, there's a sizable component of mudita, which is just appreciation of somebody in their own right. So almost, I suppose, as if we're rejoicing in them. I think we're all quite familiar with the practice of rejoicing in merits, aren't we? And maybe the two are related. And I found that quite helpful. And then another helpful thought was, so we know that these Brahma Vihara practices are quite interrelated, are very interrelated, in fact. So, for example, we've said that when metta meets happiness or success, it turns into mudita. But somebody was pointing out a relationship between mudita, between, if you like, unselfish joy and compassion. And this was interesting because he was saying, in fact, I think this was Nyanaponika Thera, who's quite a famous... he's a German originally, Theravadin author and commentator on Buddhism. But he was saying that mudita has the effect of preventing compassion from becoming condescending or patronizing or indifferent. So I thought that was really interesting because, you know, there is a danger in our thinking we're exercising compassion and falling into the trap of that being condescending or patronizing. Can you recognize that?
Mm-hmm.
So he's suggesting that, you know, when the two are combined, when unselfish joy and compassion are combined, then it eliminates that danger in a sense. You know, it's more wholehearted, it's more the compassion is more committed or something like that. And then I'm just going to read you a short quote, again, Nyanaponika Thera. So the central point here is that mudita can counter very deep problems. On the way out to the tea break, Mahabodhi was just saying in conversation, you know, there's a lot to this, isn't there? You know, this is potentially powerful. And I think this is borne out by this. So just a short quote. Slightly colourful language. When unselfish joy grows, many noxious weeds in the human heart will die a natural death, or will at least shrink. Jealousy and envy, ill will in various degrees and manifestations, cold-heartedness, miserliness, also in one's concern for others, and so forth. Unselfish joy can indeed act as a powerful agent in releasing dormant forces of the good in the human heart. So I think that's quite powerful, really. I suppose he's suggesting that unselfish joy is a really important component of our ability to think and act positively. And then finally, final thought, I think this was him again, but just a nice image that he came up with for this sort of joyful response that mudita, that unselfish joy is, quote, the divine smile on the face of the enlightened one. So traditionally we have this sort of very gentle smile, don't we, on images of the Buddha. So the argument here is, well, that's an expression of sympathetic joy, of mudita. Okay, well, moving on then. So Dhyamala and I've got some examples of sympathetic joy and things that fall short of it. I just got a suggestion, Dhyamala, actually. If we did a bit of swapping around, maybe we could both do our examples of...
Yeah.
The far enemy, okay. And then the near enemy, and okay. Then the real thing.
Okay.
Do you mind if I start?
Not at all.
So, thinking about my far enemy, that's to say jealousy or resentment, I had to think about this one, but I came to the conclusion that in various workplaces, and you know, throughout my career, and probably this one isn't an exception, I've had an issue around feeling that I'm doing quite well, you know, that I'm being reasonably skillful in what I do, and then being sort of eclipsed by somebody who does it better than I do. Yeah? So, if you like, as we say, having the wind taken out of my sails. So rather than celebrating him or her doing such a brilliant job, well, what does this say about me? Yeah? Over to you, Dhyamala.
Before I started working full-time here at the centre, I was debating whether to do concentrate on doing some form of body work, and I chose to come here. But whenever I have conversations with people who are doing a lot of Tai Chi or this, that and the other, I feel really envious.
Okay, so that's envy and jealousy. So the near enemy, we'll remember, is... Over to you.
Reflected glory,
okay. Thanks, Mel. So thinking, have I fallen into this trap? Yes, I think I have. So at various points, again, this is a workplace example. Various points I've been manager of a team, and I might have encouraged that team to take on some project that has worked out successfully. And, you know, maybe they've implemented some very positive change and a lot of people have benefited. And that has happened. Now, I'm not saying that I've failed to praise my staff in those circumstances, but I certainly recognise that sometimes I've believed for myself that that was all my personal work that achieved that outcome. I've actually managed to delude myself into thinking, yes, that was my victory, if you like. And in reality, it wasn't just me.
I experience this as sometimes, feeling proud of what some of my friends do, And quite often I'll do it, I'll rub my chest and thinking, oh, that's my friend. But the actual example that I want to give is, actually it's possibly from a couple of decades ago, but my my boyfriend is quite a well-respected person. And at the beginning of our relationship, 20-odd years ago, I used to feel that I experienced some kind of reflected glory in relation to him. And a bit anecdotally, when I lived at Tara Loka, a friend of his came on retreat and she said, oh, are you such and such a body's girlfriend? And I said, yes. And they said, oh, well, there must be something all right with you then. Just the way that she said it, you know, it really brought me a bit short of how I'd been viewing myself. But yeah, there is reflected glory in that.
Thanks.
I don't experience that now.
So that brings us on to the real thing, as it were, to sympathetic or unselfish joy. So I'm going to risk being a bit sentimental now, because this is a parent-child thing. So I went to see my daughter yesterday. She's a final year student in Liverpool, and spent the afternoon with her, which was lovely. I realised how much she's matured, actually. She's 21 now, and not only is she has she really sort of come to terms with her degree course, really seems to have that quite well mastered, really, but she's also thinking, it seems to me, in a sort of fully adult way. Well, as if I recognise anybody thinking in an adult way, but it seems to me that she is. And I just felt I could see her self-confidence, her growth in self-confidence because of those various changes. And I just felt so very happy for her, actually. And I felt happy in the recognition that she's actually doing much better at this stage of her life than I was in the equivalent stage when I was a final year student. And I'm very, very happy about that.
One job that I had many, many years ago, I had a colleague who I wasn't very involved with, and I didn't know much about her. I knew that she'd overcome some illness, but she got an invite into a garden party at Buckingham Palace. And I don't know what else she'd done in her life to get that invitation. And I just felt really, really pleased for her. And it meant so much to her that it was really lovely to be able to feel noticed for this woman. And a more recent example was over the weekend. I've just had a weekend in London with some friends, and somebody I was having a coffee with was telling me about a mutual friend at the London Buddhist Centre who has done a lot of work with Poetry East, and he gets, and I don't live in a poetry world, so a lot of the names that she said I didn't recognise, but he's getting some really top quality famous poets going to give readings, do Q&As at the LBC, and apparently they're really, really enjoyable evenings, and the poets are frequently saying that they're some of the best readings that they're doing, that the audience, which are made, a lot of Buddhists are going, are just so receptive and attentive. And I just felt really, really pleased that he's developed this activity. So actually, we're going to now do the whole practice of the Mudita Sankalpa.